Good morning. I'm Christopher Purdy, delighted to welcome you all to today's edition of All Sides Weekend. And yes, this is the book show. I am delighted to welcome to the program three experts who are going to tell us what to read, what we shouldn't miss, how to get books, etc. And they are Chris Hickey, who is Youth Services Manager at the Whetstone branch of the Columbus Library. Chris brings us each month the quick picks, those books that everybody wants to read. Chris Hickey will tell you all how to skip the line. Brian Lohr is back on the program, and I am delighted. Brian is the new owner of Cover to Cover Bookstore in Upper Arlington, a wonderful bookstore for young adults and for children. It's a store that was very dear to me from the days that it was in its Clintonville location when I had a then three-year-old. And Brian is continuing that wonderful tradition in Upper Arlington. And there is no show without Cassie Rose, who is WOSU's book critic, and her blog, important to anyone who loves to read, is thelongestchapter.com. I want to begin with Brian Lohr and welcome you back to the show. Thanks for being here.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
So what's new?
What's new? Well, we have all sorts of different things new beyond ownership of Cover to Cover children's books. We just introduced, and I hope other stores take note as well, we just introduced a new gift card that is completely made of paper, not plastic, and it has wildflower seeds in it. So I'm showing it to the radio audience. But if you could see it, you would see this paper gift card that has all sorts of seeds, including black-eyed Susans, and something that you can rip up after you're done with it and grow plants and flowers.
Only get Cover to Cover, but it's going to be used at bookstores community-wide, according to you. What is Cover to Cover? Introduce the shop to us and tell us about your trajectory there.
Yep. It is nearly a 45-year institution here in Central Ohio and beyond, and we really believe in creating an open and welcoming space for all. We have programming all throughout the year. We have Saturday 10 a.m. story times. We also include authors of note all throughout America that come through the store. So it really is a vibrant bookstore that everybody is welcome and everybody will have fun going to.
Preschool through high school, what are the age ranges that you service on the shelves?
Birth through adult, but mainly birth through 18. And so we'll have young adult, we'll have graphic novels, middle readers for ages 8 to 12, early readers for 6 to 8, and then picture books where we have just a beautiful wall of picture books that you can come explore, hang out on our comfy couch, and just have a wonderful day at the bookstore.
I know Cover to Cover was in Clintonville for many years. When I first came to Columbus with a toddler in arms, it was a very important destination in Clintonville. And they were very welcoming. They were wonderful with little kids. Nothing fazed the people who owned it then, and they were very well stocked. Then you moved to Upper Arlington, and Malia Wolf took over and owned it for many years. And she got you into this wonderful location in Upper Arlington. Exactly where?
Yeah, so this location is called the Mallway, specifically. We're at 2116 Arlington Avenue. We're right next to Jones Middle School, as well as a community pool, and right across from a fire station, which we love to do firefighter story times and touch-a-trucks. We haven't done it here recently, but we hope to do it again this year.
And Ms. Wolf has moved on to other professions. She's now teaching, that's a wonderful fit for her because she was terrific with the kids. She was really gifted with that. But as are you, and you are there now owning it, means you're there all the time, right?
It's true. I am a familiar face there, as well as a really fantastic team. We have individuals that have formerly been with Columbus Metropolitan Library, as well as then former librarians. So we really have a strong team.
Give us a couple of children's books to recommend.
Yeah, so I thought I'd start off with something that we're experiencing right now. So it's not necessarily a relief, but it is once you get to the end of this book. It's called Heat Wave, and it's by Laura Redness. And if you could see the cover, it's this bright, saturated red cover where you see these three individuals, and it looks like it is quite sweltering, just like it is today. But as you read through this book, it has a minimal text, but just these really beautiful line drawings throughout the book itself. But what happens is there's an introduction of blue, and you feel that cool downpour of the rain, and it starts to saturate in blue, and just it is a wonderful picture book. Kind of speaking of what we have in regards to weather right now, but also the promise of what is yet to come.
That's Heat Wave. Give us so that yes. great. That's a preschool
yes.
or
so. This is considered a picture book for ages 3 and up. Again, that's Heat Wave by Laura Redness.
It's a beautiful looking book. It's yes. an absolutely gorgeous looking
it's
book.
Very well designed.
What else do you have for us?
I also wanted to highlight, since we are into a summer theme, If You Spot a Shell. This one is by Amy Sakura. And in this one, Amy is known for adding real elements to illustrations. So if you spot a shell, if you could see the end papers, you would see all these gorgeous real pictures of shells. And then as you turn the page and then explore the story itself, then you start to have a seek and find within the book. So it has these really wonderful, almost like watercolor style of illustrations, but you're also looking for these different types of shells that you were introduced within the end papers. So much fun, really beautiful all around. That's called If You Spot a Shell by Amy Sakura. It's a picture book, and it's for ages 3 and up.
Brian Lohr is recommending books to us. He is the new owner of Cover to Cover, which is a book that serves primarily children. It's in Upper Arlington, and Brian has covered our studio table with book recommendations, so we will get back to you. I want to welcome Chris Hickey to the program. Chris is coming to us from Zoom today. Thank you for coming in on a day off, probably for you. What are quick picks and what do you got for us at the library?
All right. So quick picks are those hot books that everyone wants to get their hands on. You might be somewhere on the hold list, but you can walk into our building and that book might be on display. You grab it and you jump the line. And exciting times at the library. Right now we're in the midst of Summer Reading Challenge, which is available for all ages. Some great prizes for everybody. And we are less than a month away from our second Columbus Book Festival, which we are super excited about. It's free. It's going to be at Main Library July 13th and 14th. And the quick pick that I want to share first is from one of our featured authors. Her name is Porochista Kokbor. And her book is called Tehrangeles. So it's like Tehran and Los Angeles. It's like a mashup of those two. And this is just a super fun read. If you like Kevin Kwan, you know, his Crazy Rich Asians books, this is a book for you. So Kirkus called it a hyper-real neon inversion of Little Women if the March girls had to deal with hashtags. So this book is super fun. It is very much a character-driven novel. So she does an outstanding job really telling us who these four sisters are and their parents. They are Iranian-American. The author herself is Iranian-American. And it really kind of looks at what does it mean to be American? What is the American dream for people? So this family is incredibly wealthy, one of the wealthiest families in California. This is a novel, by the way, not real story. And they have made a fortune in frozen foods. So the dad has created something called the Pizza Bomb, where basically he was shoving together ingredients. He was basically living off this when he was working in a little pizza shop. And then it exploded, basically. So their family is poised to be the next Kardashians. So they are in talks to have their own reality series. And then the pandemic hits. So all kinds of interesting things happen with this family. It's like not a huge plot, but it's just you get a deep dive into these fantastic characters, and they're flawed and they're beautiful, but they're just good. I mean, they're just great. It's fun. If you like a deep dive into people and glitziness and silliness, but just a good, like a family that at the end of the day very much loves each other, and it's just fun.
Tehrangeles, is that
Tehrangeles.
Right?
It sounds like a dinosaur.
A little bit. It sounds like a dinosaur. But it is a quick pick recommended by Chris Hickey from the Columbus Library. So that means it has a waiting list that you may be able to jump the line if you check the displays that are loaded in every Tuesday at every branch, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Chris Hickey, thank you very much. Cassie Rose, you're not Chris Hickey, you're Cassie Rose. What do you have for us to read?
I have a novel called The Radetzky March by Joseph Roth. It's a book that I have been meaning to read for a long time. And I think I was probably putting it off because, you know, I was reading that it is one of the greatest novels ever written. It is a masterpiece of the 20th century. And I thought, well, it's going to be like reading Trollope or something like that, of where you're going to be. You'll see it's a masterpiece, but you'll be dragging your way through it, which is not the case for this book. It truly is a fascinating book, and I can't believe I put it off for so long because I loved it. It is essentially about the fall or the decline of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. And it starts out in, and by the way, Joseph Roth was born in 1894, so he experienced that. And this is, so you get in the book his connection to it. I don't think you see his understanding of what has happened, and you feel a kind of melancholy too. And I think that's Joseph Roth, and he does it so brilliantly. It starts in 1859 with the Battle of Solferino, which is a true battle that Austria lost to Napoleon. But in this battle, and this is fiction, the emperor, there's a pause, and the emperor stands up with his eyeglass, his telescope, to look at the field. And Lieutenant Trotta knows that is the one thing you do not do. All the soldiers know this because you become a target for a sniper. And he throws himself at the emperor and takes a bullet in his shoulder, and he becomes the hero of Solferino. He saved the emperor's life. The book essentially follows the Trotta family, that being the hero, his son, and his grandson. And through them, we see the decline. Roth doesn't give us dates. He doesn't talk about politics, but it's through their lives. For example, the hero, he's a peasant stock, and he really struggles with all the attention. He's made a captain. He's made a baron. And I don't want to tell what happens to him, so I'll just stop there. His son becomes also a baron and is a provincial official. He embodies the duty and the loyalty to the empire, and again, that sense that many people would have to the empire, whereas his son also joins the military, but he struggles himself with it, with a failed love affair. He has a friend who gets involved in a duel because of a misperception. None of this that has anything to do with the military or the empire, but you see the decline of this young man, and it essentially, Roth is using the personal lives to show how in the background that their fatherland is declining.
Roth, born in 1894, what brought this book to your attention now? Ostensibly, he's been deceased for a number of years. The book was not published recently.
Correct. It was published in the 1930s. Okay. He died, I want to say, in 1938, 37, in Paris, an alcoholic, moneyless. The book came to me through another book, and it's called Ostend, O-S-T-E-N-D, nonfiction, about the friendship between Joseph Roth and Stefan Zweig, who was
You've talked about that, yes.
Yes, that is also a fabulous book. And because of that, I always wanted to read Roth's novels. And he's written many, but this is the one that most people, I think, would resonate with and should probably start reading first, because also it's a book about belonging and identity.
It's called Radetzky March by Joseph Roth.
Correct.
A recommendation from Cassie Rose. This is All Sides Weekend Books. We're going to take a quick break and come right back. Don't go away. Thank you. We are back. This is All Sides Weekend. This is The Book Show. I'm Christopher Purdy with Cassie Rose, who is WOSU's book critic. Chris Hickey is with the Whetstone branch of the Columbus Library. She brings us quick picks every month. And Brian Lohr is the owner of Cover to Cover Bookstore in Upper Arlington. Brian, I wanted to ask you one question. There is nothing better than reading aloud to little kids. There really isn't, as far as I'm concerned. So if I wanted to do that, what would be a great book to read aloud to little kids?
Yeah, absolutely. So I can think of a few. So Kadir Nelson, who is just an absolutely amazing illustrator, has written a book about kindness. And with that is where you kind of see these birds that are manifest human relationships. And with that, then you see that play out, whether it be a challenge in regards to sharing or whether it be coming together and enjoying the fruits. So that's Kadir Nelson, If You Plant a Seed.
Oh, thank you for that. That's a great recommendation. You know, I think I love to read because Mrs. Tuttle, the school librarian, read aloud to us in 1961. and I'll never forget it. She read The Wind in the Willows, Kenneth Graham, which to this day is one of my favorite books. Absolutely.
You know, that's a good point because I remember that in second grade. Mrs. Sinks, she called the time Hop on a Magic Carpet. And she read Charlotte's Web and James and the Giant Peach.
Oh, yes. We had Reading Circle. Yes. Well, that's another conversation. We'll have that later in the book show. Chris Hickey, give us another quick pick. Give us another hot title that everybody wants to read.
Oh, let's talk about Lucy Foley's new book. She writes thrillers. She wrote The Guest List, The Paris Apartment, and her new one is called The Midnight Feast. And a TikTok book influencer described it in the most hilarious way. She called it, if the HBO show The White Lotus had a baby with the Blair Witch Project and that baby was raised in a small town by Agatha Christie, you would have this book. Anyway, I stayed up way too late last night diving into this book. I started it last night. It is about this very exclusive resort called The Manor, and it's in the small English town surrounded by creepy woods with an old pagan legend. And the woman who owns this manor, it's called The Manor, and it was her family home. She's turned it into this resort. Her name is Francesca. And when her grandfather died, he was saying, beware the birds, beware the birds, don't anger the birds. So it is opening weekend and a body has been found by the locals and there's hints of a fire, but we don't know who this person is who has died. So we've got a whodunit on our hands with also like creepy supernatural wood story going on at the same time. There's a lot of animosity between Francesca and the locals because this town used to be an affordable vacation area for different people. And now the manor is really threatening the livelihood of a lot of locals, local farms and things like that. So there's lots of people who probably want to kill people in this book. So it's just kind of a fun, a little bit of an escapist, but a good mystery, a good like thriller whodunit. And it's twisty and I'm having fun with it. I like it.
That's a recommendation. Give us the title one more time.
The title is The Midnight Feast by Lucy Foley.
By Lucy Foley, recommended by Chris Hickey from the Columbus Library. That is a quick pick. If you walk in on a Tuesday morning in any library branch, you will see the same displays freshly loaded in. Check out that display anytime you go to the library. Another question for Brian Lohr. How do you get a 13-year-old boy to read, and what would you give him to read?
Well, first, have them, well, that is, as you can hear me bumbling through this response, it is always based on the kiddo, and it's always a challenge. So it really does kind of find what their particular interests are, which is always a good way to start, and then do read-alikes. If you like this, you might like that, and so forth. What I found with my own kiddos, I had two voracious readers and one reluctant reader, was it took Alan Gratz and his series of historical fictions. So again, this idea of a realism that really connects with that age is a great way to go. Alan Gratz has written a number of different things, but most notably Refugee, about three different refugees at different time periods and following their plight. So again, it's just having a conversation with that kiddo. And sometimes that means, and this might be hard to hear for parents, maybe that conversation is with somebody else. Because many times...
Well, I'm sure the parents would be relieved to hear that from you, you know.
Yeah, so sometimes we can act as that mediary.
Now, you have a whole table full of books, so I want you to give us a couple more recommendations from what you have in your bag.
Yeah, definitely. So I'd love to talk about the Far Flung Falls series, and that's by Eric John Slangerup, who is a local author here. And he started off with Molly and the Machine, and then just recently in paperback, brand new in paperback, is Molly and the Mutants. This series is just a really fun romp. You have some 80s camp that's part of it. It starts off with Molly's brother, who ends up being kidnapped, and all of a sudden the chase is on to retrieve her brother. Molly is strong-willed and is just a great female protagonist, and there are robots. There are... In the second book, there are all sorts of fantastic things. I'm not going to give too much away, but it really is this kind of 80s romp meets fantastic mystery. That's the Far Flung Falls series. And the first one is Molly and the Machine. And then again, just out in paperback, Molly and the Mutants. Eric John Slangerup. These are meant for 8 to 12-year-olds.
That's a recommendation from Brian Lohr at Cover to Cover. We are talking about books today on All Sides Weekend. I'm Christopher Purdy with Chris Hickey from the Columbus Library, Brian Lohr, and Cassie Rose. What do you have for us to read?
I've got a new novel that's coming out in July, I think July 9th, by the Irish author Kevin Barry. It's called The Heart in Winter. And Kevin Barry, this is his fourth novel. I think most people might know him by Beetlebone, which was a novel that he wrote about John Lennon leaving New York City to find an island he owned off the west coast of Ireland. He's pretty broad in his topics for his novels. And this one is takes place in 1891, and it's really a Western. It starts out in Butte, Montana, with a guy who is writes songs for saloons and letters for the men that are working the mines there to women trying to get them to come to Butte to marry them. And he works in a photography studio, and a man comes in, an owner of the mine. No, he's a captain of the mine, I think, mine that they call him, copper mines. And his new bride, he wants a marriage photo. And the protagonist, his name is Tom, and I'm forgetting his name, even though I just finished the book this week. Anyway, Tom falls in love with the girl. Tom Rourke is his name. And he ends up, to get a long story short, he ends up getting involved with this young woman, and they steal a horse and go off riding to west to live in San Francisco. It's a pretty basic plot line, and of course there's a gunslinging posse that's coming after them. The thing is, though, that Kevin Barry is doing something very different. It sounds like, when we're reading it, it sounds like a bard is telling us this story. He keeps us a little at a distance, and that's because in Butte, Montana, where it is populated by men who are hardworking, drinking, doing drugs, it's crude. And the language is crude. And there are many words I would not be able to say on the air that are just flung throughout the book. And it's that atmosphere. And also the love relationship isn't at all the romantic, sweet kind of thing. He doesn't get you involved in that. And you're not even really worried about it. It's more about the people, who they are, what they're going through, the adventure kind of a thing, like as a bard is telling you, and you just want to know what's going to be happening. The ending actually is what won me over with the book. In the middle of it, I kept thinking, well, okay, but it's one of those books that you stick with. And when I got to the ending, I was like, okay, now, yes, this is it. And he's so good with also his language. He's funny. He doesn't hide anything either. I mean, there are some, as I use the word crude, there are some moments that may be difficult for some people to read. It's also in sections. I mean, so it's, in other words, it's not the prose that is running down the page full up, but he breaks it apart in a way, kind of like Percival Everett will do with his books. And that, I think, makes a difference, too, in reading this book. It's not intense, but it's just a good adventure and kind of like a good Western yarn.
A good yarn is great for the summer, particularly.
Yeah, it is.
It's called The Heart in Winter.
The Heart in Winter by Kevin Berry.
A recommendation from Cassie Rose, who is WOS's book critic, and her blog, which you should check out, is thelongestchapter.com. Chris Hickey, you mentioned earlier briefly summer reading programs at the library. Can you just expound on that a bit and then give us another recommendation?
Yes. So Summer Reading Challenge is all June through July, and it's basically to encourage children to continue to read over the summer. We also want adults to read over the summer. That's as great role models for their children. And so there's great prizes for all ages. We have treasure chests this year, which I've had really a lot of fun picking from when I get my prizes. Lots of things like enamel pins, gel pens, all kinds of fun things. But we also have some pretty cool raffle prizes, like a family membership to COSI, which is nothing to sneeze at. So that's pretty great. That is going to be going on through July.
Is that at every branch?
That is every branch. Okay. Come on in. You can do it online and then come in and get your prizes at the end. Everyone gets a free book at the end. For children, they get to pick from brand new books that we have available. And then adults get a Friends of the Library coupon that you can use in most of our buildings sell books, but also we have big book sales and at the main library. So everyone gets a book, which is pretty cool.
So lots to do in the summer for readers at the Columbus Library. How about a quick pick for us?
All right. I have a debut novelist. Her name is Marcela Fuentes, and she has written a book called Malas. So she has pulled together this legend of the Weeping Woman, and she pulls together stories of two women from two different generations, and they live in a Texas border town. The women meet in the 90s, and their connection, including their love of the singer Selena, threatens to unearth a lot of buried town secrets. So we bounce between the 1990s and the 1940s and 50s. So this book has a strong sense of place. So Fuentes is from Del Rio, Texas, and she uses that as an inspiration for her town. The town in the book is a fictitious town. This story actually came from her attempt at writing a fairy tale during a class while she was getting her master's degree. So Malas are known as bad girls. In 1951, Pilar is pregnant when an older woman comes to her home claiming that Pilar's husband is actually her husband. And the older woman puts a curse on Pilar. Four decades later, Lulu is a rebellious teen. She's dreading her quinceanera until she meets this glamorous and much older Pilar, who has moved back to town. And so Pilar has this idea for how to make her quinceanera fabulous. But lots of secrets and lots of good stuff. Lots of history about Selena and the Tejano music scene, if that's something that interests you. And I think it's really fun. You also learn a lot about a type of musical cathartic yelling. It's like a cry laugh. And it expresses joy, rage, love, pride. It was a call to arms during the Mexican Revolution. So this story is very much about like passing down heritage and what is important in that. Lots of passion, lots of revenge. This is a fun book.
A fun book full of passion and revenge. Only Chris Hickey could recommend. Thank you for that. We'd love that. That is a quick pick from the Columbus Library. Brian Lord, let me ask you at Cover to Cover, summer reading, anything special going on?
Yeah, we have a number of things that are going on. We work closely with our school systems throughout Central Ohio in regards to stocking required reads, but we also stock a number of selections such as memoirs for sixth graders. We have a special selection from Penguin Random House at specially priced order titles, so such as the Penderwicks. Some may be familiar out there with that series, and they're specially priced at $6.99. So we do a number of different things, but I would like to mention that with summer comes travel. And with travel, then we have some really just beautiful armchair travel books. But if you've also been to places like the Grand Canyon, or if you've been lucky enough to experience the Great Barrier Reef, we have these absolutely amazing books by different authors, different illustrators, but they are all under Flying Eye Books. And the one that I have that's brand new is the Earth's Incredible Places Grand Canyon. And if you could see the cover, you would see these vibrant colors on it.
It is beautiful, yeah.
And if you could feel the cover, you could feel the embossing. And they do this with every one of these titles. Well, the newest one is the Grand Canyon, and it's for that curious kid. So there's all sorts of different facts and figures that you can then explore within that, whether it's studying how they were formed and the rocks that were made, or the people that surround the Grand Canyon. It's just a really beautiful book. Again, if you're going to the Grand Canyon, it's great. If you've been to the Grand Canyon or just thinking about the Grand Canyon, that's Earth's Incredible Places, Grand Canyon from Flying Eye Books. Susan Lamb is the author. Sean Lewis is the illustrator. And that's more meant for, I'd probably put it 9 and up.
Okay. Recommendations from Brian Lord, cover to cover. What are the store's hours?
Yeah, so we are open Monday through Friday, 10 to 6, Saturdays 9 to 8, and Sundays 12 to 5.
Every day, good Lord, there you are. Yes. What's your website?
Yeah, so folks can visit us at cover to cover children's with an S, books with an S, .com.
Cover to cover children's.com.
Children's books.
Childrenbooks.com. Don't pay any attention to the man behind the curtain. Cassie Rose, how about you? What do you have for us? You have a children's book, or are we going to be adults here?
I think we're going to be adults here. Sometimes the summer is a good time to read a trilogy. And I want to recommend.
Oh, you know what? Hold that thought. I got to take a break. I'll be okay. Right, because I don't want to rush you. We'll be right back. Don't go away. This is All Sides Weekend Books. We are back, All Sides Weekend Books. I'm Christopher Purdy. I interrupted Cassie Rose, who was about to give us a recommendation.
The book that I'll start with the book, it's called Friends and Heroes by Olivia Manning, and it is a third book in a trilogy called the Balkan Trilogy. She is known best for the Balkan Trilogy and the one that comes after it, the Levant Trilogy. All those six books follow a married British expatriate couple, the Pringles, Harriet and Guy Pringle, through Romania and Greece and Egypt during World War II. So the first book is, so I'll talk about Friends and Heroes to begin with. At this point, they are in Athens. And what it is that Guy teaches at the legation, which is a diplomatic area for the Brits during that time. And Olivia is mostly just, you know, trying it to, she's meeting friends in cafes. Much of it is about that. Living with anxiety of what's going to come next. The Greeks are fighting the Italians in Albania, and there is a threat then of the Germans coming. That's in the background, which is what Olivia Manning does so well. She takes ordinary life and in the cafes, at work, in the streets, making friends, while in the you're living that anxiety and that uncertainty. So it's not about the war, but it's about ordinary life and ordinary people. Now, when the trilogy starts, Guy and Harriet are newly married and on their way to Romania. It's a quick relationship, a quick marriage in England because the war is in play. And the first book, you're really getting to know all the characters, and some of them are very colorful, like Prince Yakimov, who wears a very heavy fur coat that was given to his father by Tsar Nicholas. And others are some intellectuals. And the first book is not the one that's going to draw you in, but you do fall for the characters, the Pringles. The second book is things get a little tense in Romania, and by the end of that, they have to get out. And when they are in Greece, again, at that point, they have to get out too, and they barely get out in 1941 at the end of that book. And then the Levant trilogy begins. Now, it's based loosely on Olivia Manning's life. She was writing in the 20th century at the same time that Iris Murdoch was writing, mm-hmm. and Iris Murdoch got all the attention, and Olivia Manning was overlooked. Although Emma Thompson and Kenneth Branagh were in the movies of these books that came out in the 1980s, which I might have been Masterpiece Theater, it's a really wonderful. I can testify for the Balkan trilogy. I have not yet read The Levant, but it gets to be consuming, not because it's filled with, the page turning kind of a thrill. It's more so because you get involved just with the ordinary life and the ordinariness of the life and the characters. And by the time that you get to the end, you really do have this sense of how do you live with that anxiety of every day, was what Olivia Manning captures. Guy, for example, has the ability to be just zone in on his work. And there's much about their relationship, too. He's somewhat neglectful of Harriet, especially in this third book, and how Olivia Manning captures that. She really understands people and can write about it in a way that says, yeah, that's it. I get it. So it's really a terrific trilogy, the Balkan trilogy, and I'm assuming the Levant trilogy would be just as good. And you can look online, too, with Goodreads, and you'll see, the 4-plus stars for
Olivia these. Manning, let's give her her due.
Let's give her
Iris,
her due.
Iris,
yes.
God love you. You've had yours. Let's give Olivia Manning hers. Only on All Sides Weekend, the book show,
exactly.
From Cassie Rose. Thank you very much. And by the way, you mentioned of Emma Thompson and Kenneth Branagh. I want to recommend something by Judi Dench, the actress Judi Dench, who it's hard to believe is now 89 years old. This is a brand new book called Shakespeare, The Man Who Pays the Rent, where it's basically an oral history of all the Shakespeare plays that she's appeared in for her career, which has been most of them, apparently. But you have the quotes from Shakespeare, the most beautiful, magnificent work in the English language, and then her commentary, which is bawdy and fun and informative and gossipy. And if you want a terrific book to read on the elliptical at the gym, which is where I read this, Shakespeare, The Man Who Pays the Rent by Judi Dench, is a lot of fun. That should be a quick pick, Chris Hickey. It probably isn't, but do you have one for us?
I do. How about a beach read?
Okay. Great.
It's June. It is hot, hot, hot outside. So let's give you a beach read. This one is bittersweet. So one of the reigning queens of beach read, Ellen Hildebrand, this is her final Nantucket novel. She's written 30 of them. So she's given us a giant body of work, which lots of people are grateful for. She's a bestseller. This one is aptly named Swan Song. So a lot of her, several of her like favorite characters have come back. Police Chief Ed Kapanish, Blonde Sharon, who is the island gossip, is also a main character in this story. And I've never been to Nantucket, but I feel like I have through her novels. So if you, that armchair travel type of book, Ellen Hildebrand will definitely give that to you. So it is just a few days before the Chief of Police's retirement. And a woman has gone missing. And this is a woman who is a friend of his daughter's. Her name is Coco, and she is an assistant to this outrageous couple that has just moved to Nantucket. They're the Richardsons. They purchased this $22 million property, and she has gone missing. And so his final days are not going to be easy ones, because it's personal. She's a family friend, and he wants to find her. This couple, the Richardsons, they are outrageous. They come to town, they throw these extravagant parties, they go out to dinner every night, they flirt with everybody. These parties have themes, they have a yacht called Hedonism. One of the things that I love about her books is she describes like food and drink really well. So it does feel like a vacation in a book, but it does kind of wrap up these characters. So it is a satisfying ending and a well-deserved break for her She is not retiring from writing altogether. She may do some other things, but she says she's done with the Nantucket novels.
Yeah, she'll move to Martha's Vineyard. That's what she'll do.
She can write a whole Martha's Vineyard story.
Yes, those are very well-known books, and they are very, very enjoyable. Perfect beach read, even if you're landlocked like in Ohio. Well, we're not really landlocked, but, you know, there's no ocean here, but we have our lakes. But, yes, a recommendation from Chris Hickey, a quick pick from the Columbus Library. And let's make sure we get more information from Brian Lohr, because I don't want you to have to take everything out of your bag and then not talk about them. So what do you have for us?
Well, I want to go with Dungeons and Drama by Christy Boyce. And Christy is another one of our Central Ohio authors. She teaches over at The Ohio State University. And she is really well-versed in creating these beautiful escapist romance books. And this one's meant for young adults, so 13 and up. And with Dungeons and Drama, it's where you have Broadway meets, can you guess? D&D. So that's where you're coming up with the Dungeons and Drama. And so it focuses on Riley Morris. And Riley just dreams of becoming a Broadway director. And those dreams are on hold. And what she has to do then is she has to work with her coworker, Nathan. And Nathan is described as this floppy-haired, glasses-wearing guy she barely knows from school. So it's this type of thing where they come together to form this ruse over everybody at school, and so that they are thinking that they are an actual couple. The ruse is this. Is, of course, then Nathan is trying to attract somebody else. She's trying then to say, look what you're missing to her ex. But, of course, in the passage of time, then maybe it's actually a little bit fun to be with Nathan. And maybe this isn't so bad. So this actually was, again, written by Christy Boyce. And it takes a little bit of her own life with her own husband in their interest. And so if you're just looking for that beach read or just something with some whimsy, I definitely recommend then Dungeons and Drama by Christy Boyce.
Give us one more.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with continuing on with a young adult. I really want to highlight, especially during Pride Month, Luma Mufla's From Here. It's received lots of great praise just out in paperback. It was a finalist for the YALSA Excellence in Young Adult Nonfiction Award, and it posits the idea if, in Mufla's case, it's a memoir, and her family is from Amman, Jordan. And it posits the idea of what is family? Where can you find family? Can you build family if you are then rejected by the country that you were born in? So it's a really powerful memoir. Again, that's a young adult, 13 and up, From Here by Luma Mufla.
And we make the point that Cover to Cover is a bookstore for small children, but older kids like me can go there too, right?
That's exactly right. So we'll have anything. We were talking about 1984 earlier. We'll have classics like that. We'll have contemporary standouts that are adult books that are also then books that could be read by a younger teen readership that the American Library Association has recognized. So yes, we have a broad selection of books.
How much reading do you yourself have to do being the owner of a bookstore?
Yeah, so it is intense. I can get in a lot more picture books than I can everything else. So I'm more versed with our picture books. But yeah, all of us on our team we love to read, and it shows.
If you have a kid who loves to read, or if you love to read, bring the kid and go to Cover to Cover in Upper Arlington. Again, it's where it's with the Mallway, is it?
Yeah, it's called the Mallway in Upper Arlington at 2116 Arlington Avenue.
Now owned by Brian Lohr, who was, that's a recent, although you've been there for many years. You've been involved with him for many years. Certainly.
That's right. I started in 2019 as the general manager and have been enjoying it ever since.
and go see Brian, and he's going to be coming back to this edition of All Sides Weekend Books, I hope, as we continue. And Cassie Rose, we have time to for you to keep us reading as well. What's up? What's next?
I'd like to recommend a book called Rattlebone by Maxine Clare, and it's a coming-of-age story set in the 1950s in Kansas City in a black neighborhood, and the protagonist is a young girl named Irene. And what's wonderful about this book is how, I mean, it's the 1950s, segregation is still in play, but what's wonderful, one of the wonderful things about this book is that you get immersed in the neighborhood, and you get to know the neighbors, Irene's family, the characters, all their lives and incidents. And it's not, you're not aware of the politics that are going on. And so that's what this author does. She brings this to life. Now, this is a McNally Editions book, so it went out of print and has been brought back into print. And the author is still alive. And on the one hand, you get Irene and her friendships and all of that, but you also get the viewpoints from adults. I'll just say that the book starts out with Irene in school, a new teacher named October Brown. She's suspicious about her, and it's well-founded because her father comes to pick her up one day in a snowstorm, and there's a flirtation going on with a teacher, and her father is still married to her mother, and so she senses this. And so there's a little bit of that going on, and the father leaves the family. But there's also scenes where Sister Mary Joseph, a white woman, comes driving into the neighborhood in her convertible and proselytizing with the girls that are playing jump rope. And you can tell, I sense that she was trying to recruit potential nuns. So
Sister has a convertible, you're telling me.
You're right, right,
oh, okay,
right.
Then.
And
good.
Of course, you know, Irene knows that if her mother looks out the window and seeing it, you know, the holy terror is going to come running out. They're wonderful characters. They're warm-hearted. There's just all, I can't really describe how good it feels to be in that neighborhood. And so it's a delight to read. It is, you know, that you're in the hands of a good author. Even in these moments where Irene wants her friend to take her home. She wants to see her house, and they're walking through this neighborhood, and the friend has been a little bit reserved about it for a while, and here they stand in front of this house, and it says tourist house on it, and she lives with her mother in the basement. Well, a tourist house back in the 1950s was a place where couples would rent a room for a couple hours. And
to read, they're reading.
Yeah, right, they're reading. Thank you. Yes. But, you know, as little girls there, when the mother isn't there, you know, they're nosing around, let's just put it that way. But unfortunately, Irene sees something that she shouldn't see in someone that she knows. So there are moments in the book, too, that are highly dramatic. Also, the father, James, you know, helping with this flooding river, and has a moment where he almost drowns and, you know, has a come to reality moment and returns to the family. It's really a terrific book, and I highly recommend it.
It's called Rattlebone.
Rattlebone, and that's the name of the neighborhood.
Rattlebone. Who's the author again?
Maxine Clare, Clair.
That's a recommendation from Cassie Rose. Cassie's blog is thelongestchapter.com. Very important and a lot of fun for anybody who loves to read. Thank you, Cassie Rose. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Brian Lohr. Congratulations again on your ownership now of Cover to Cover. Go visit Brian in Upper Arlington. He'll have all kinds of recommendations for you to keep the kids reading, keep you reading as well. Chris Hickey, thank you very much from the Columbus Library, the Whetstone branch, our friends at Whetstone, our friends throughout the branch with Quick Picks. Quick Picks are loaded in to every branch every Tuesday morning. Is that right? At opening?
That is correct. Every Tuesday.
And they are consistent through every branch. So wherever you go, you're going to get wonderful Quick Picks from the Columbus Library. That is today's edition of All Sides Weekend Books. I'm Christopher Purdy, and I thank you all for listening today. Thank you to All Sides senior producer Marcus Charleston. Thank you to Aaron Esmont Rabinowitz, producer. The interns Abigail Jump and Kira Kadar with video production by the Ohio Channel. Thank you, Chris Johnston, for making us radio. And thank you all for listening. Keep cool and keep reading.